Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Let's take this outside with Marianne Iveson, the podcast where she speaks to athletes, outdoor professionals, and scientists about why they connect with nature.
Lawrence Kalsell and Alistair Gardner are the co-founder and co-owner of Exact Nutrition. Exact Nutrition started with one simple idea. Surely it's possible to make a better tasting alternative to an energy gel. Their foodie passion and love of outdoor sports led them to create products that work great and taste great, starting in 2012, handing out Exact Energy fruit bars at a windswept mountaintop feed station. Lawrence grew up in Bristol, UK, settling in Montreal and heads up marketing and product development with a passion for mountains and cooking. And Alistair is from England and now lives in Bromont, Quebec. He is a competitive runner and has represented Canada in mountain running, has his own specialty run store, and recently earned a diploma in sport nutrition. Please welcome Lawrence and Alistair from Exact Nutrition. Welcome, Lawrence and Alistair. I was connected to both of you through Stephen Beerbrier, who is one of your ambassadors, but I am also a fan of your products. Thank you for joining me on Let's Take This Outside.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, we're super stoked to be here. And thanks for clearing up Stephen, how you pronounce Stephen's last name. That's been a mystery to me for many years.
And you know what's funny is I've known him for years. And when I finally had him on the podcast, I was like, okay, let's figure this out. We're going to dive right in. But Alistair, you just got back from France, right? And you were running with our mutual friend, Liam Walk.
I'm still in France. It's late here for me. So Liam and I were in Chamonix for the UTMB week, cheering on friends, crewing friends. And I'm just back from Switzerland from a race that I did on Friday.
So apologies, you're still there. And thank you for joining me, even though you're way over there right now. But how was the race? How did it go? Did you drink beer?
I drank a lot of beer. I avoided drinking too much beer the night before the race. And I was in no fit state to drink beer after the race. I was pretty much sent straight to bed and woke up in the morning, but had a lot of beer the next day.
Good for you. And how did the races go?
So I did it's a brand new race, part of the UTMB series called the Wild Strubel. And I did the long one, which is the 108 kilometer. And so it was quite a challenge. To be fair, the scenery, the crowds, the beautiful villages in Switzerland, they just knocked the socks off of everything. It was really good. The race went really well, but I had a bit of a sort of fueling challenge towards the end. And so from the last sort of 5 hours of the race, I pretty much ran on 2 sips of black tea and nothing else. And so I was very happy to get it done.
I have so many questions about trail running, but we're here to talk about Exact Nutrition. Lawrence, can we just dive right in and say, what is Exact and where did it all start?
So Exact is our sport nutrition company that we founded. When I say we, it was me, my wife, Marianne Regnault, and actually her dad, Alain Regnault, founded it back in 2010. And it started with a bit of, I wouldn't say a frustration, but just sort of having experienced energy gels for the first time, actually on one of our local trail races here in Quebec, actually at Mount Orford. After experiencing that first gel, thinking, wow, this is great. You get a really nice boost of energy. But after sort of, I think it was maybe the fourth or fifth, you're kind of like, I'm sure it doesn't need to be as awful as this to get that same energy kick. So it really came from our actual first product being pâte de fruits or fruit pastes. Now that's such an awful word in English. We didn't do a literal translation. So we call them Exact Energy Fruit Bars. So all our products are named after the company Exact. That's the brand. So it really came from just a combination of me sort of having my goals in racing a bit different from Alistair. My goal is always just to kind of finish within 4 hours of when my friends finish. So obviously fueling is a helpful part of that. But I'm also a little bit chubby, really enjoy my food, and not just quantity, but quality. So it really comes from that, man, we've We've got to be able to make something that does the same job as a gelbert, but is just way more palatable, way more tasty. And that's kind of been the ethos behind all the products we've developed here at Exact Nutrition over the last 10 years. And one of the really cool things when Alistair joined me and Marianne as an owner back in 2015 or 16, about 5 years in, he brought all his expertise and also some of the constraints as a vegan endurance, you know, high performing runner, brought a really helpful perspective to us as far as the product development is concerned.
There's two things I want to point out about specifically the little bars. So number one, they're delicious. They're like the best tasting ones by far, the Canadian. So, you know, that helps a lot too. But also for Canadian athletes who do things outside all year round, in the winter, I have to point out that they don't freeze, they don't go hard, they just seem to last. I've never had a problem in the winter cracking one open, and it's not like super hard to chew or anything. I'm assuming you designed it that way.
Absolutely. I don't think we can take all the credit for that. I mean, we took an existing product, these fruit jellies or fruit bars or pâte de fruits as their French name. They've been around for 450 years. So they date back to just a way of conserving fruit, you know, before refrigeration and all these things. So what we really did is we kind of, like a lot of pioneering brands, but maybe not quite so pioneering as perhaps we would like to think ourselves, we hijacked an awesome idea, but really tweaked it and repurposed it. And so while someone who maybe trains or competes or lives in Southern Europe, particularly like in Spain and France, Portugal, where these things are to a penny, up here in North America, in the US and Canada, where we commercialize our products, they really kind of stand out. That like people like, what is this? Like when we're expos, like doing tastings and things like that at big city marathons or cross-country ski races or, you know, triathlons, the first question we always get is just like, what is this thing? I guess the nice thing about that is like we've managed to differentiate it from other like chews and gels and things like that. But it also means there is a bit of work to just to kind of educate folks and say, yeah, it really, and initially when we're sort of trying to hit up bike shops to take on our product and run stores, there was even a little bit of pushback. It's like, this can't be as effective as X brand gel because it tastes too good. It can't taste that good and be effective. I guess the good news is that it is both tastes really good and just as effective. In fact, it's got a really ideal sugar profile in terms of getting maximum absorption of carbs into the body during effort. And there you go. I've already said way too much.
We're going to talk about the actual sport nutrition part of it in a couple minutes. But Alistair, as an athlete, as an endurance athlete, accomplished endurance athlete, I could go on and on. Tell me about what attracted you to Exact and what led to you now being a co-owner of the company.
It was kind of a mixture of two things. It was sort of meeting Lawrence and his energy and just sort of like, hey, try this. It's going to be tasty. And as Lawrence said, it was delicious. And having sort of been through my early years of trying a different couple of brands and things and having that mixture of sort of a toothpaste texture or a very synthetic flavoring texture, like everything was just like, okay, this one's a bit better that way, but the other one's not that way. And you get something which comes across, and as Lawrence said, it's the hijacking of a very simple recipe, but repurposing. And it's just kind of like, it was screamingly obvious. And I was like, this makes sense. And that was what kind of jumped out to me. And from there it was, okay, so you've got caffeine added to it. That makes sense. Electrolytes added to it. So this is kind of going from the recipe idea of 400 years ago, now taking really into the sports arena and sort of having the potential of this very delicious, like fruity platform as going into something a bit more for, and it doesn't have to be for like elite athletes. And that's the best thing about it. It is kind of something you'd almost be happy to give the kids on the way from school to swim lessons, because it is basically boiled down fruit at the core of the ingredients. And all that to be said was, you see all these opportunities, and where I was with work, I was just like, I want to jump onto this. And Lawrence and I were very like-minded individuals when it came to how we do the business and where, you know, growing a business, kicking off with a startup and things. And so from when he was picking me up as a runner to go up to Quebec City or to Mont-Saint-Anne to do races where he was presenting the product and I was going to run, and we had 3 hours in the car to discuss all these different things, we ended up talking business plans, and it just went from there. It just kind of evolved as a sort of a very logical partnership.
Lawrence, where did the inspiration come from to fuel athletes specifically for the outdoors? Clearly, you know, you're an athletic guy yourself, but where did that come from?
Very simply, it came from adventure racing in Europe when I lived back in France. Actually, I moved from France to Canada. And when I got to Canada, I just wanted to continue those kinds of activities because of a love of the outdoors, just trying to keep sane. I've always like lived in the city, but love leaving the city. And so skiing, which is a passion I share with Alistair, adventure racing, which sort of morphed into trail running and longer distance trail running. And it was actually just doing the races and coming across the available foods and products there. That's where the inspiration came from. I'm also a passionate cook, and so is my dad-in-law. And I think I'm as passionate at cooking as eating. It's like they're 50-50. They're really like joint first place. And I just kind of wanted to eat nicer stuff whilst doing these events. And I'd say not competitive in the way Alistair competes, but competitive in terms of, you know, really like wanting to go after it and have an enjoyable time and have that sense of accomplishment that one does get from entering these kinds of events. But it was really, I can make something better than that. Let's just do it.
You did. And now it's quite successful and you keep releasing new products.
Not as much as we want. That's another topic.
Actually, I'm going to ask you first before I get to the sport nutrition stuff. If there was any meal that you like to cook and you can just like put it into like a little bar and take it with you, like for taste, what would you do? And Alistair, same question for you.
Chicken tikka masala with a naan, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say onion bhajis. Onion bhajis and IPA, like two separate gels, little sachets to take with us up the mountains. That'd be perfect.
That's another thing. So Alistair's a vegan athlete. I'm omnivore, but sometimes where we can always be very happy with exactly the same meal is, you know, the heart of British cuisine, which is Indian and Pakistani, Bangladeshi cuisine, curry all the way. So yeah, we're working on our curry nutrition line.
I was going to say, did I just like help you to like make a new idea, a new product line?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think it's in the back of our minds since forever, but now it may be something we should really talk about more seriously.
Now we've officially announced it on audio and it's recorded.
Exactly.
Alistair, you have a sport nutrition background, and we haven't actually covered this yet on my podcast, so I'm really excited to talk about this. Can you give me some basics on fueling for outdoor recreation? This is like a multi-part question and we can kind of keep talking about it, but some basics on that. What's important to consider, like convenience, stomach upset is huge, fueling. So where do you want to start with that?
I think if we talk about the macronutrients, which is the sort of the very basic sort of start for when it comes to fueling an outdoor adventure or a marathon race or, you know, a multi-day hike or something. We talk about in the macronutrients, the carbohydrates, the fats and the proteins. And that's where our calories are coming from. Protein is a very important factor when it comes to sort of recovery. So healing muscles which have been damaged due to sort of strenuous activity. But the actual fuel itself is really coming from the carbohydrates. The more it becomes a sort of a low intensity, fat contributes. And as the intensity increases, so we're talking sort of a 10K half marathon or your ultra marathon kind of distances. You're certainly using carbohydrates and a combination of fats, but really eating the carbohydrates is the key thing. And it's standard, no matter what the product is you're going to pick up in your local run shop, as a way of sort of having that sort of medium to high intensity workout, i.e. running. It's every 30 to 40 minutes, you should be eating about 100 calories of simple carbohydrates. And that should be able to keep your energy levels topped up. So you're kind of like avoiding that bonking sensation where you start getting a little bit, you know, I can't understand why I'm tired, I'm dizzy and things. It's actually because you've run out of glycogen, which is your body's sort of gas tank, as it were, for energy. I'm going to try and stop there because it really is a rabbit hole of information when we get there. So fire away with particular questions and see if I can answer them.
You said 100 calories of carbohydrates. So what does that translate to for macros?
Brilliant question. So every carbohydrate is going to be 4 calories per 1 gram. And so I'm going to take the exact energy bar. It's 30 grams. It has 25 grams of carbohydrates in there and therefore 100 calories. And that's pretty much the same deal. No matter what energy gel or energy bar you're looking at, it's around about 100, 110 calories in there. So you say one of these little bars every half an hour, every 45 minutes. If you're running a bit harder, a bit more often, if you're more on a hiking power hike kind of, you know, full day outing, then it could be maybe as every 60 minutes, and that's just to have like optimum, you know, optimum energy, optimum performance.
How long does an activity have to be for you to say, okay, I need to start fueling? Does it like, is it like over an hour, hour and a half?
To be fair, that 60 minute mark is a good sort of reference. That's probably where your energy levels start to drop off. And if therefore you're going out for 2 to 3 hours or even longer, it's not to start fueling after 60 minutes, but in fact, start fueling after 30 minutes and therefore being having a preemptive approach to keeping your energy levels topped up, as opposed to waiting till you're tired and then trying to sort of, you know, catch back up again. Because that's where you're kind of having those ups and downs of energy, and you're a good person to talk to 1 minute and then a little bit grumpy the next minute. That kind of the hangry, we call it, I think.
What's important to consider when it comes to convenience? Again, stomach upset is a huge problem for endurance athletes. Some of those factors for people who are maybe getting into more endurance athletics or want to try different gels or different, or your bars or different products like that.
I think it's go ahead and try those different products and find out what you enjoy, whether it's something is a bit more liquidy or something which is a little bit less sweet. And we really pride ourselves on the fact that we're kind of like a cross between a sort of a sensation of a gel and a chew. The chew is often far too chewy and they freeze in the cold, whereas this is kind of the exact energy bar is a melt in the mouth feel. But having said that, even when it comes to the ultra races and the long distance races, like a marathon towards the end, I prefer something a little bit more liquidy right at the end there, just because, you know, it slips down a little bit quicker. Whereas it's less agreeable to have that kind of effect early on in the race. So the suggestion is, you know, go into your local sports shop and grab a different range of products, different range of flavors, and try them out and see what works for you, because you may be surprised which ones actually work better than the other ones.
Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hi, I'm Steve Yerko.
And I'm Tara Sands. Now available from Maji Media is our new podcast, 4Kids Flashback. 4Kids is the company who brought you the English dub of Pokemon in the late 90s and so many other shows like Yu-Gi-Oh!, Shaman King, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Kirby, the infamous One Piece dub, and so many more.
We'll be talking to the people who worked at 4Kids. Actors, directors, writers, editors, producers, engineers, you get the point. And hopefully get the answers to questions both you and I have about the company.
I actually worked there as a voice actor on some of the shows.
And I was a kid watching the shows and remember way more than Tara does.
And thank God for that. Steve is actually a professional storyboard artist, which gives some really unique insights into anime and animation. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. That's the number 4Kids Flashback.
Let's take this outside with Marianne Iveson.
Question for you as someone who runs over 100 kilometers. How many calories or macros are you eating in a race like that?
Okay, so I'll take the more recent, as I said a couple of weeks ago, Quebec Mega Trail, which was a 50K race. Mm-hmm. So about 5.5 hours of racing. I was actually taking, and I was working with the philosophy that the research that has said, mm-hmm. The higher intensity, you're going to kind of more regularly take in those simple carbohydrates. And so I actually had almost every 15 to 20 minutes an exact energy bar for that whole 5 hour period. And so I know it's surprising, but that's kind of in order to run faster for a longer time, you need to keep fueling more regularly. That is the basics of it. And so in order to run as fast as I aim to run over those 5.5 hours, it was pretty much every 20 minutes I was eating a full bar, which towards the end almost felt as if like I finished one, I was pretty much opening up the next one to eat it. However, you know, it ended up with a great performance. And a friend of mine, David Jecker, who was actually eating one every 15 minutes, he finished third in the race. And the two of us were very, like, feeling good after the race, not feeling burnt out. So as you go, as again, you push harder for longer, you want to sort of up that intake from potentially up to 400 calories, which would then be equal to 100 grams, 4 calories per 1 gram of carb, which is the equivalent of 4 bars every 60 minutes.
Can I ask, what's your favorite flavor?
Strawberry. I say that strawberry or apricot. I think those two are my favorites. However, I'm a massive caffeine fan, so I often kick off with a few blackcurrant bars because they have 50 milligrams of caffeine in them.
Lawrence, why is community so important to Exact? And what does that look like for you? Switching gears a little bit here.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. And that's a great question. I think it's a very simple answer. I think it's just enjoyable and rewarding. Yeah, it's fun and enjoyable and rewarding. It's kind of like, I don't know, it feels like being part of a party, whether that be a small party or a bigger party, like something like Ottawa Race Weekend, that's kind of a slightly other party out of hand a bit. We might not have the best city here in Montreal for like the city really handing over the keys to events, with maybe one exception, the Grand Prix Cycliste, which just happened last weekend. But we're kind of a bit envious of where you're nearby in Ottawa, where multiple events really get to enjoy and are embraced by the city. But we have a fantastic series of sort of underground, very community red runs and rides and BMX and even cross-country skiing on the mountain, which can be really small in size. And just, we've always paid attention to it because it's just where we started and where we came from. In the early days of Exact, I'm not sure, I wouldn't recommend this as the way to build your business plan, but how we did it is we didn't have an online presence apart from social media. We had great difficulty getting into stores. We thought we'd just like find a distributor and they would do that for us. But what I didn't take into account is we had a completely unknown brand. Some would argue we didn't have a brand, we just had a product. And of course, that wasn't so attractive if you're owning a store or owning a distribution process. So how did we like get our product known as well? Well, early days, it was just me and my wife and our kids at the time just kind of turned up at events and sort of forced ourselves into people's mouths. And then after the event, we'd go to the local store and say, hey, like, people love this. Look, it's true. And I'd like show them like some really like crappy like amateur photos that I took of some of my mates or whoever we managed to find at the race or training or whatever. And maybe one out of five stores would be like, maybe we'll give it a shot. Like, we'll put a $50 order in, you know. But that was for some considerable time, for some years. There were some other, you know, very real life. I guess there were constraints. We couldn't really go and promote more than 2-hour drive away from our own house because I had a full-time job at the time, right? So so we'd promote on the weekends or in the evenings. And so you kind of, that's your only choice. And I'd say it was a bit of a gamble. Like it's definitely a passion project. It's not like we went through a round of financing and then employed a marketing agency to go and do all these things. We literally really sort of figured it out as we went along. So we'd turn up to an event, we'd meet some people at Quebec Megatrail back in 2013 or 14 is where we met Alistair and some other like really fine runners at the time. And it's through talking to people like Alistair, Jeff Gosselin, Sarah Bergeron, LaRouche, people like that. Well, we just ask them what other races they were going to go and run. And then, well, we'd have a word with the organizer and sort of beg our way to like get there for as little financial outlay as possible. And that's kind of how it got built. And even if we fast forward 9-10 years, because that'll be our 10th birthday this fall, we started operations in the US this year. And okay, we're a bit more established. Certainly, I think we're better established like in Eastern Canada. But you know what? It's not really any different. Like in the US, okay, we go in there with a different product categories. We've got like amazing protein wafers. We've got electrolyte tabs. We've got 6 flavors of the fruit bars. We started with 3. Yeah, and we have functioning websites and like you can order. And guess what? The product arrives like the day after or in 2 days. All those things which we didn't have before. But the process is actually the same. We find that unless you actually turn up at like a quality event, whether it be a business-facing event or a consumer-facing event, or if you turn up in someone's store or at a race, you can't really beat that as a way of getting the product known. We've been experimenting and playing with, you know, social media and everything. And yes, it's important, has its place. But what we found is, especially, I think it's got to do with a lot of the fact that we are selling something you eat. And if our pitch is, you know what, this is going to taste really good and it's going to help you out and it's easy to digest and so on, you can only sort of paint so many pictures of that. You really can't beat giving it to the person in the setting in which, like, it was designed to be used. And guess what? That takes a bit of time. So you turn up a lot of community events. And so I think that's really why it's continued to be of how we continue to promote our brand. It's something that we really enjoy. If sometimes you might get a little bit, we might get a bit sort of frayed at the edges, because the months of May and June, September to early November, we've got multiple events every weekend, most weekends. And now it's not just Eastern Canada, but it's Western Canada. We have an event in Texas. Alistair, I can give you the news. We've just, looks like we're sponsoring the Salomon Women's Half Marathon Trail event at Marin Headlands in California. You know,
wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. So I guess it keeps on coming back, and we're really appreciative of that. And I hope that's something that will always be a part of our priorities when we're you know, planning from one season to another.
What this podcast is all about is nature and how you connect to nature. So what role does it play in your lives, considering both of you love the outdoors, and how does it play into Exact? I didn't specifically ask who. Both of you, Alistair first, and Lawrence, I'd love to hear your answer too.
Again, that's the kind of question that could go on forever about. What I fell in love with trail running about was that connection with nature. I mean, I was a sort of a ski bum, a snowboarder for many years. And what I loved was just sort of riding through the trees on a powder day. And that sort of connection with just sort of being on the edge of adrenaline while I was running in the woods was the same thing I had. And so sort of from a very sort of one place to another, that feeling, and then obviously the whole sport nutrition link, connecting that in order to be able to do it for longer and, you know, feel good about it and not be exhausted and dizzy while you're doing it after many hours, is also proper fueling. And therefore that link of Exact Nutrition is there. And so for me, that was the sort of the core link, is really sort of, you know, fueling people to go out and enjoy themselves out in nature. And whether it's on your bike, up a mountain, down a stream, all those sort of different areas you can be in.
Lawrence?
I think my main leisure sort of experience has just always been outdoors. So I wouldn't say necessarily nature, but the more outdoors it is, the more enjoyable, the more remote it is, the more one really connects with the place you're in. I think if I try and like rewind back, as probably as early as I was probably 12 or something, and the school I was at in Bristol, England, it's a big national program in Britain. It's called the 10 Tours. It's basically an overnight hike where you have to be autonomous in Dartmoor, which is, it's probably the wettest part of Britain, I'd say, or one of the wettest. So it's great. It's designed to be a bit sort of humid and not miserable, but it's certainly not, it's not a walk in the park. And going into it, I didn't really give it much thought, because I think I was kind of in, you know, this is like early 80s. As a schoolboy, you kind of like get forced into all your leisure activities. You didn't really get to pick them. So I kind of just went into it without much thinking. But the feelings, I remember the feelings, the emotions I experienced during it, and probably particularly afterwards, were just, oh my God, that was a phenomenal experience. Like, and it was all about the kids organizing it ourselves. So it was, I don't know, a team of 8 12-year-olds with no teacher or parental supervision, actually like kicked out onto the moor and like, see you in a day and a half, you know. there was something really brilliant about that. And I think maybe that kind of first awaked in me, it just made me realize like, oh, that's something that I really enjoy doing. And now I didn't go on to do necessarily just those things, but whether it would be walking in the mountains or later skiing in the mountains or involved into running in the mountains or a mixture of mountain biking, running and paddling to get somewhere, is something I was lucky enough to work out at quite an early age that I really enjoyed it. And I must say, doing those things in Britain is also a really great way to really sort of make sure that you like it, because it's certain that when you start out in your day, chances are, if it's not pissing it down with rain, it soon will. And so you get this inbuilt sort of optimism like, well, if you wait for the good weather, then just kind of, you never go out. So, but what's the nice thing is so you do go out and maybe the weather's not great, but often it will become so. And some of those, sometimes the most dramatic views and the most like exhilarating moments I've experienced were like on the west coast of Northwest England, in the Lake District, and there's a wonderful, wonderful mountain range there. Just when the clouds clear, and there's something about if you've been walking like uphill and the rain is coming upwards, like, and you see nothing and it's all a bit shit and you're kind of cold and hungry, but when the cloud does break and then you get the view across the Irish Sea or down into the fells, and if you're really lucky you can see the pub where you'll finish the day, just those kinds of experiences are just they're just great. And there's I think there are relatively few things in life where you know for sure, like, the more you put in, the more you get back out of it. And I've discovered that there are two things in life like that. One is sports, and sort of, and I put outdoor activities into that. Like, the more you put into your hike or your run or your ride or your paddle, it will be more rewarding. And the other thing is cooking. Like, the more effort you put in, it will be better. And I think everything else, jobs, careers, administration, it's not a certainty. Like, you can work a shitload and maybe you don't get the promotion or like the wonderful, lovely feeling. But I think with like physical activities, stroke nature pursuits, it's always the case. And meal creation, I think it's always the case.
Is there anything else you would like to add about Exact Nutrition? Because this has been wonderful. Like, obviously your website, I'm going to add everything in the show notes, of course. But is there anything else that you would like to add? And we just started going into the States. Where is the company going otherwise?
So with regards to the States, I mean, we've been astounded by the success we've had. We kicked off with the running event, which was back in December. Really, it's like that here we are. The story behind it was that we flew down to the event, the morning of the setup, and our actual booth did not follow us in our baggage. And so we just had an empty space where we went out and printed or wrote on a massive piece of paper, just, you know, I think it was Air Canada lost our booth, and it kicked off conversations with people. And we luckily had the actual tasting stock with us. So lacking any sort of fancy tablecloths and catalogues, all we had was our cheerful smiles and the actual stuff to taste. People came by. We had that conversation about why our booth wasn't there. And within, what's that? That was December. We're coming to September now. So, you know, sort of 9 months, roughly 10 months, we've opened up 70 plus stores across mostly the east of Canada. That's where we focused. But it's been absolutely astounding, the response we've had. Just a little bit more equipped than when Lawrence and Marianne were doing it back 10 years ago. You know, obviously had a bit more of a website, a bit more of, hey, here's all our content and things to add to your website and stuff. But a little bit more tooled up for that. That's the US, and I see the vision is global. We're not going to stop. We've got more products in the pipeline and things that we're going to work on. But I think the thing for me is that we're often, having one-on-one conversations with people who have, you know, set themselves of doing a challenge of a marathon, you know, so they weren't really a runner, or they've always thought it was a great idea and said, you know, well, for my 50th birthday, I decided to run a marathon. And, you know, they've gone and bought the shoes 6 months ago, the training plan and things. And we meet them a couple of days before their race, when they, you know, they're picking up their bibs. And we see these people saying, oh, I didn't know you ate while you were running. And we're like, oh my gosh, when you were running your, you know, 30K Sunday long run training, you didn't fuel with anything. Oh no, I was definitely hungry. You know, I hated those, the last hour. My stomach was grumbling and I was almost dizzy. And so you get into about fueling for a race. And these people are like, really? I'm like, yeah, no, that's it. Really, just eat the bars as you go along. You can tell, oh yeah. And then, you know, they'd have a little taste of something. Yes, really easy to eat. I'd eat that while I'm running. And so their whole lives were changed. And you have these people who had spent 6 months, and you know, you don't know until you know, but 6 months working towards their day. And literally a couple of days, we've been able to sort of really just sort of turn it up a bit for them and give them that boost, whether it's a 5K, a 10K, or a half marathon, a full marathon, or 100 miles that these people are running. If we can help people achieve their goals, I think we're doing a good thing and having a lot of fun while we do it. So I think for me, it's keep on doing that and just spread it around more, get it out to more people.
Thank you so much for sharing some insight behind your wonderful company and helping fueling athletes and outdoor athletes. This has been great. Alistair Lawrence from Exact Nutrition, thanks for chatting with me today.
You're welcome, Marianne. Thank you so much.
It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks for listening. For more Let's Take This Outside, go to letstakethisoutside.ca.
I'm Andrea Askowitz.
And I'm Allison Langer. And we are the hosts of Writing Class Radio, a podcast, but we are so much more. We have writing classes. So if you are looking for live online classes where you can join a community, write to a prompt, get feedback, and get better, check out all our classes at writingclassradio.com and listen to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts and at writingclassradio.com.
Produced and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.